Blog Talk Radio. Shabbat shalom, Mishpatah. How is everybody feeling this beautiful Shabbat day? Good to see everyone. And starting on the first of a six-week journey through the Word of Yahweh, in this session, shalom, Ema, of study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman to be not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And excuse me, on this six-week journey, hopefully through Yahweh's will and with his permission, we will talk about something that Yahweh has placed on my heart very heavily for quite some time now. And not to be a subject of gloom, but one of hopefully encouragement and preparation. You know, we're talking about salvation, you know, and the conspiracy to prevent your salvation. There's only think about this life and all that we can amass. As the writer once said, he said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Because at the end of the day, no matter what you amass in this world and in this life, if you are not prepared for when this existence ends, it's for nothing. Because the only thing that matters is what you have prepared for when you pass on. And it's a harsh reality, but it is a truth that everyone has no choice in accepting. It is something that we will all have to face one day. A difference in our existence that does not lie here. You know, in this quote unquote realm, in this quote unquote, you know, reality. But that's what Abba, you know, really has placed on my heart to talk about, because there is a when you think about this thought and what Abba has entrusted us with. And I know some people may listen later or may come across this and really feel like, well, who are you to say Abba has entrusted you with this? You know, and in particular, when you think about this particular season that we're entering in now, where they're counting down the days that they have left to burn up their credit cards and to max things out and to make, you know, as much as they can complain about, you know, the disparity between the haves and the have-nots, but so many of the have-nots are about to make the Bezos, the Trumps, all the mighty ones in this earth wealthier.
Amen.
By one simple thing, greed. You know, got to have that 55-inch TV, HD, DVR, just sitting up in my house, just looking pretty, hanging on the wall. You know, my child got to have the Baby Yoda, you know, got to have the newest, greatest thing, got to have the PS4, the Xbox, the whatever it is. You know, everybody's just going for broke to make sure that their loved ones get the things that they earnestly desire for 364 days and 23 hours and 59 seconds, you know, so that way when everything, we wake up, all these beautiful things are under the tree, and they can just open it up and just, oh, thank you, give me more, oh, give me, you know, everybody looks so forward to this time of the year, and they really put their hopes in the feeling that they get at this time of year, whether it's giving or whether it's receiving, you know, but what good is all of it? What difference does it make, you know? I play video games. It ain't nothing like when you do something and you accomplish one of them things and a trophy pops up there and it's like, oh, yeah, I did that. But so what? If I got a master's, PhD, you know, all these, you know, one of my professors used to say, diggity, diggity, dot, dot, you got every letter of the alphabet behind your name. Does that get you that welcome, my good and faithful servant? Because at the end of the day, that's the only phrase that's going to matter. Whether or not you hear that when you enter into reality. Well done, my good and my faithful servant. Because if you don't hear that, I'm not even going to say that's a problem, but it's a problem. Because that means somewhere along the line, in this, what we have here, you fell short. But it's all that's really going to matter. You know, by the will of Yahweh, he has taken us on a journey through the word, and we found out, excuse me, in the book of Esdras, what actually takes place after you pass on. And whether you believe it or not, or whether you feel that it's true or not, let's just say, you know, as one of my high school teachers said, you know, even though it was kind of a skew, well, she said, if I don't believe, or if I do believe, and even if it's not true, at least I'm in a safer place. Excuse me. Well, not so many words. You know, even though her thinking behind it is skewed, you should serve the Creator, not necessarily for the punishment, but for the reward, you know, that you are going to receive in it. But you know, what good is it all? What difference does it make if you have everything in this life and we see different? And we're gonna go through the journey of people, believe it or not, or our foreparents in the scriptures that were saviors or gave us example of what the Savior would do, as well as hopefully by Yahweh's strength, what people did to stop said rescuing or salvation for the people. You know, when you think about all the information that's out there in this day and age, it's hard to sift through what is truth and what is not truth. It's hard to, it's like the, you know, that song, Blurred Lines. The lines are becoming so skewed and so blurred that anything that's put out there that sounds good sometimes is perceived to be good. But I see when Yahushua says, wide is the way and broad is it that leadeth to destruction. But it's a very narrow path. And, you know, it's so funny. We went through this while we were on the retreat. And we had a blessed time at the retreat, you know. Yahweh always confirms to me and, you know, in talking to, you know, my other brothers, in particular Yaakel, Yahweh, where he leads us on these journeys, you know. And we always try to be in tune to what he is doing, you know. And over these last few men's retreats that we've been on, and, you know, our brother Yara'el, he's always the one to thank you, brother, make sure that we're fed, make sure we have, you know, accommodation, you know. So thank you to my brother Yara'el, because that's a labor love for the brother. And the fact that, you know, we got to go up ahead of everybody else coming up, I really watched my brother put the effort into making sure that everybody had, beyond the accommodations, food, plenty of which, you know, he cooked for us. You know, there's a book out there called The Five Love Languages. You know, and everybody's love language is different. They have a combination of one, but the brother's love language is service. He loves to serve. Believe it or not, sometimes he gets a bad rap. You know, but my brother loves to serve, and that was evident. It was all put on display. We busted some guts out there. You know, my man made sure, even on the day of leaving, that we had plenty to send us on our journey. So hallelujah that we have a brother, you know, that puts that much effort into ensuring that this retreat, which is it's Yahweh's infused in it, and I'm gonna just leave it at that. You know. Because this time, you know, we went to the moon. We had a journey to the moon. Amen. The place that we went to was called La Lune. La Lune, which I believe it's in the Latin languages. We got the sister, the multilingualist in here. You know, just give me a nod if it's Latin, right? Okay, that means the moon, right? Okay, you know. 409 Ridgeway.
Come on now.
Add the 4 and the 9 together, you get what?
13.
And what is 13? Love and unity.
Come on now.
You know, so and each year, absolutely, man. I always wait for you to tap in.
But no, just to confirm that.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at one of the terms that's translated as one or unity, it's spelled Aleph Tet Tav.
Amen.
Which equals 409.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So that's Abba right there. That was Abba, man. That was Abba. And he took us on a little journey, and there's some to be continued in there, you know, because I look at our lives as being episodic. You know, I look at our lives as going from, you know, hour by hour, day by day, month by month, year by year. And this is a journey that we're on through the word of Yahweh. You know, we learn in the scriptures that it was a 3 days journey from when they left out of Egypt to where the destination was. But he said, I have to take them on the longest route possible. And why? Why did he do that? Says to prove them, to make sure that these people are worthy of the destination. Because the destination, the goal, the end is all that matters. And part of this destination is living this, part of the journey, rather, towards this destination is living this life that we live and all that it encompasses. But one of the thoughts that Yahweh placed on my mind, you know, y'all know my mind is a magic. From the time I saw this movie at 6 years old, my mind has always been in a different place, Star Wars. And I'm going to tell you, the more I read about that story and I watch the movies, the more I realize there's a sincere message through that whole thing, whether the movie is one of the best-selling or whether it's really like, there's always a subtle message in there about good versus evil and those who are sent to protect the innocent. And the war is always against the one chosen one who was sent to restore order. Because at the end of the day, that's all it's about. One person who was deemed worthy, who has proved himself worthy to restore that order in the galaxy. You know? But that's the six-year-old in me that still exists right here in my heart. But another movie that I like, too, and I'm a little rambling because I ain't had time to talk to y'all in a minute, so you know, it feels good to be up here. So bear with me, family. I hope we're comfortable. Raiders of the Lost Ark. Another Lucas film. You know that? George Lucas, for some reason, and when you look at Luke in the scriptures, he saw things about Yahushua through a very keen eye. And we're going to talk about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John along this journey, you know, got to pace myself. But one of the things I realized, you know what we are? Archaeologists.
Hallelujah.
We are archaeologists. We are the people that Abba has chosen. Are the true archaeology. See, people go digging up things of the past, looking for little physical treasures here and there. But when you think about what an archaeologist is, when you look at the term arche, meaning ancient, that which came much before us, we are seeking a path that started even before the existence of Adam and Eve. We're seeking a way back to a place that existed before our time.
Amen.
And we're going to see that hopefully by the will of Yahweh in this word today.
Amen.
You know, because one of the things that, and I know every time, you know, I have one place to go in my mind, but I would say, nah. Let's dial it back a little bit. So guess what we're going back to again today, Sam? Amen. Take a wild guess. The garden. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
And every time I read the story of creation, the narrative of creation, the history of creation, I learn more and more each time. And ain't nothing no deep, no spiritual, nothing going way out there. Just simple, basic facts about what took place. Because Paul said those things are written aforetime before our learning. They were allegories. They were supposed to teach us some things. And some of the lessons Yahweh's not going to say, this is exactly what I'm talking about. But through life experience, we will learn what it is that took place, what it is that happened in all of that. What took place between Adam and Eve? Well, if you have ever been in a relationship with someone of the opposite sex, I'm not talking about someone, I ain't in all of that. You've been in a relationship with anybody, you know that there are the ways of a woman and there are the ways of a man. Simple. Sure, we have a unique personality, each one of us, but there's something hardwired in men, and there's something hardwired in women that just makes us different in our thinking, in our understanding, in our reason, and not to say that one is better than the other or whatever, it's just that there's a difference and that the beauty that exists within it. Because that's why Yahweh made two people of a different gender, but of the same kind.
Man.
No, but anyway, I'm not going to ramble anymore. I'm feeling off, getting dry already. But the vast majority of humanity, they're failing to prepare for the most important event in life, and that is death. Death is the only thing that you really need to have preparation for.
Man.
You know, insurance policy, good. Burial plot, good. Everything else, good. Well, you know, if you want to say this is what I want, songs, blah, 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 you can say all of that all you want. Doesn't necessarily, you have no power to execute it after you're gone. You know what I'm saying? So the truth of the matter is you hope that your loved ones will do that for you. But at the end of the day, they can say, nah, just put them in the ground. you know? Because truth of the matter, your ability to affect anything at that point is done once you give up the ghost. But why did Abba create you? Let that thought marinate for a minute. Why did Abba create you? You know, look yourself in the mirror and ask yourself that sincere question if you haven't already asked. Why did Abba create you? Can I give you that? To have a personal relationship with you. Period. Simple as that. Now, if he has a task for you, that's a whole different story. If he has a particular thing that he wants you to do, that's a different story. Those are your marching orders. But at the end of the day, he created you to have a relationship with you, to be able to have this interaction, this goings-on with you. That's it, period. And we're going to see it by way of the word.
Amen.
Okay? So, without further ado, let's start talking about Abba's word. And you know, yes, you called it. We're going back to Genesis. Bereshit, in the beginning. The beginning, right? And, you know, and even in reading this, not to say that, well, you know, the scholars did whatever they did, but I feel like the scholars did some, in some regards, a disservice. And as by way that they divided this up, it causes confusion to people.
Amen.
Because actually what we start off in Genesis, the second chapter, 1, 2, and 3, should actually be in the first chapter, because that's all one happening and one going on up to that point. And then when we start at 2, 4, that's a whole nother thing, right? But nevertheless, we're going to start at matter of fact, read the whole first chapter. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and mighty one said, let there be light. And the mighty one saw the light, and it was good, and the mighty one divided the light from darkness, and the mighty one called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And the mighty one said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And the mighty one made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. 1:8, and the mighty one called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning for the second day. And the mighty one, in 1:9 said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And the mighty one called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seeds. And the mighty one saw that it was good. And the mighty one said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. 1:12. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and the mighty one saw that it was good. Genesis 1:13, and the evening and the morning were the third day. And the mighty one said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. 1:16, and the mighty one made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And the mighty one set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And the mighty one saw it was good, and evening and morning were the fourth day. Now, we're going to table the fourth day for a later discussion, because there seems to be a whole lot of discrepancy about these luminaries and the fourth day. I would like everyone, in between this session and the sixth session, in particular, to look at the moon and its cycle, because there are three very distinct stages in the moon and its cycle. And these three very distinct stages, and I'm talking about the halfway mark, there's a point where it's perfectly at the halfway mark, there's a point where it's perfectly at its full, And there's a point where it's perfectly at the other half remark. Why is that? Why is that? It's almost like a sandwich. When you think about it, it's almost like a sandwich. But, you know, one of the things I love about Abba, and as we, you know, journey through his word, and as we have gone through this journey through the scriptures, which Yahweh led us through by our leader here, it's not, there's a saying we used to say in the Bronx, not for nothing. Right, my sister? It's not for nothing. That's how you know somebody's from the Bronx. And it's particularly if they're from parts of the Bronx. Not for nothing. Might make a statement and say, not for nothing. But Yahweh didn't do this for nothing.
Man.
Because he knew there would be controversy over this one particular thing. This one particular luminary has all this controversy. But Yahweh took us to the moon for a reason. And gave us some revelations while we were at the moon for a reason. So one, that we could be unified in his love on that. And when have we ever gone up there and been on such a rough road?
No, right.
Almost unpaved. But why? Why on this unpaved type road? Huh? It's not for nothing.
Amen.
He took us on this journey for a reason. And then we found out that there were two ways to go, did we or did we not? Two ways to get us to the same destination. One that took us a very unfamiliar and windy path, did it or did it not? And one that we knew about that we didn't take, but we let the machine, at least I did, let the machine do the directing, realizing that when we went to the place that we love to go to, which is always a part of our journey, Arrowhead, that we said, from now on, what do we decide, my brother? That wherever the address is, we going to make Arrowhead the mark, and then from there we will go, because we know by heart at this point how to get to Arrowhead, right or wrong. We know by heart. We know the route to get to Arrowhead. Now, whichever place we go, as far as where our lodging is, now that may be different from year to year,
man.
But the one thing that has been the same is how we get to Arrowhead. 70-68-219. Yes, indeed, my brother, right? Simple, right? That's right. So we know that. We decided this going forward, that was going to be our mark, and then from there, we'll let the GPS do whatever it do, or we'll figure it out on our own.
That's right?
But again, let's table that. Because we're going to come back and we're going to talk about this fourth thing. And particularly, we're going to talk about the moon on this journey, because why is there all this discrepancy about this luminary? But Yahweh said in his word something very specific, and we're going to talk about it, because we got to do one of two things once we go through this journey. We're either going to agree with what the word says or be in disagreement with what the word says.
Amen.
But it's what the word says. Simple as that. Anyway. 120. And the mighty one said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that have life and fowl that may fly above the earth and the open firmament of heaven. And mighty one created great whales, every living creature that moveth, with which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And the mighty one saw that it was good. And the mighty one blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and morning were 50. And the mighty one said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And the mighty one made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And the mighty one saw it was good. 126. And the mighty one said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And this is the important part. Let them have dominion over the sea, of the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So the first thing we find out that the Creator wants mankind to do is have what? And what is that dominion? What did he do in essence? Made us the rulers? Also, what else? He gave it to us. He entrusted it to us. Now, he created all of this. He did something that we have no ability to do. We can't create a tree. We can't create the seas. We can't create the land. We can't create any of that stuff. We have no ability to create any of it. But Abba said, I'm going to give y'all the ability to be in command of this. So it's like this. Let's say somebody built you a house and said, here go the keys. This your house. My house. I ain't built this house. I built it for you. It's your house. Here go the keys for it. Take it and live in the house. That's what Yahweh did.
Amen.
This earth was a house that was made for us, right or wrong.
Amen.
Fully furnished.
Right.
But we're going to see something even more special about it. Okay? Where are we? 127. So the mighty one created man in his own image. In the image of the mighty one created he him. Male and female created he them. And the mighty one blessed them. And the mighty one said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And the mighty one said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. He gave us everything in there for food, to buff our gut, to fill ourselves. And also, 130, to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. So now, not only did he put us in a place and furnished it, he said, from it, I'm going to feed you with it. This is how you're going to eat. This, I'm going to also sustain you in all of this. Did he say the man had to do any work for it? Did he say the woman had to do any work for it? No, he didn't. So everything that came here before us was provided for us to be comfortable and live comfortably in it. Right? Okay. 131. And the mighty one saw everything that he made, and behold, it was good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now, why they separated this and put this in chapter 2 is beyond me, but now we're in chapter 2, right? Because this actually goes in line with one thought.
Amen.
Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them, and on the seventh day, the mighty one ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And the mighty one blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which he had created. Question, who rested? Huh? The mighty one. Why? He did all the work. Adam wasn't working. Adam wasn't doing nothing. So when the scriptures say the Sabbath was made for man, man wasn't made for the Sabbath. That's what he's talking about. And please don't twist these words and think that I'm saying we don't have to keep Shabbat. We have to keep Shabbat to be in line with what Yahweh did. But when he rested, when the Shabbat was given, that was for Yahweh to kick back and chill. And his creation is included in all of that. But the Sabbath, Yahweh set that day aside for himself. But his creation follows along with it.
Amen.
His creation is supposed to rest within it. You know how blessed this day is?
Well,
who looks forward to Monday? Raise your hand. Who looks forward to Tuesday? Raise your hand. Who looks forward to Wednesday? Raise your hand. Thursday? Friday? Okay. Which is going to line up with what we're going to learn later on. Right? Saturday. Oh, you just going to nod your head? Okay, I'll take that. The whole world looks towards this day as a day of chilling. Whether you think about it, there are people who work on Saturday, but still look forward to Saturday. Right or wrong? Sabado. The Sabbath. Now, we look forward to it for a different reason. Those who keep the Shabbat look forward to it for a different reason, because this is a day that we come to have our weekly checkup with Abba. But everybody else looks at a day to chill, to rest, to relax, regardless of what it is you do. Some people like to get ready to party, wax their car, get fresh gear, whatever. but it's still a day that is infused with something so special in it that everybody, they made it Saturday, Saturday. That's the hip-hop song, Saturday in the park. I think it was the, he didn't say Sunday or Monday. No. They give homage to this day even in the world because it's a day that Yahweh infused with something special.
Hallelujah.
Right. And even for those who believe that, well, how do we know that this day is actually the Sabbath? How do we know this day is the seventh day? Well, I tell you what, how do we know anything? How do we know that that tree wasn't made this, when Yahweh said he made it? We inherit some of these things. Truth and lies, and sometimes all intermingled in between. But as my brother said about Babel, what is Babel? Confusion, but what do you have to have? What's that? Wisdom. To do what? Because Babel is one big stew in the pot, right? Gumbo. But you got to be able to have some discernment in what you taste. You taught on that, right? Got to have some discernment in all of this. But it's made special for a reason. But anyway, 2:4. And this was, and when we learned and when we were taught about generations and the Hebrew term being told, don't mean history. 2:4 starts now with some history. Okay? Because everything that took place up to that point, guess what? It's prehistoric. Why? Because up to that point, man ain't really involved in all of that. So now that man is involved, now we can start laying down some history. Abba can give us some history about what's taking place. But everything prior to man being created, guess what? It's prehistoric. It's beyond his understanding. These are the generations of the heavenly earth when they were created in the day that Yahweh Elohim made the earth and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. See? He's saying before. That's why he's giving you some history before it grew. And you can fact check me behind it and look in the Hebrew. It's talking about something that came before us. Right. For Yahweh Elohim had not caused it to rain upon the earth. Man had no point of reference to that.
Right.
And there was not a man to till the ground. But the, so now understand what he's doing from 2:4 on. From 2:4 on, he's honing in on something very specific. He's honing in on something now to give you some additional details. He's honing in on this because there's supposed to be something especially special about this part of the creation, this part of the story, of the narrative. 2:6, family. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And Yahweh Elohim formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So now he's showing you all what took place now. On what day? In this particular verse? Day 6. He's letting you know what took place on day 6 right there at that point. He's saying, now, this is what I did on day 6. Because all we heard in day 6 that he said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let us make woman. You know, he's just letting you know that was the day I did it. But now, this is specifically what went on.
Amen.
So Yahweh did as all of us like to do as children. What do we like to do? I know I wasn't the only one. Play in the dirt. Make mud pies. Make mud creations. Y'all ain't make mud pies and all that sort of stuff? You ain't never playing in the dirt? Never got your hands dirty? Even if they ain't have a whole lot of dirt, we played in the dirt. I ain't grew up with a backyard initially. I grew up in a housing complex. But we still found a way to play in the dirt, right or wrong. We grew up in a concrete jungle. And in that concrete jungle, we still find, even if it was just the little cracks that be in the concrete where the little weeds grow out, we still find a little place to play in the dirt, right?
Man.
But so Yahweh letting you know, that's where y'all get it from. That's where y'all get the desire to get it from. I went and I played in the dirt. I made this earth now, and I'm forming something out of it, this special creature. And I'm going to put life into it, put my essence into it. And now it's going to be what's called a soul. And, you know, Abba, help me understand. Tell me if, and correct me on this if my thinking is out of line with this. The breath of life is simply that, the breath of life that he gives to every creature. But now the soul is almost like your data bank, what gets stored in the cloud with all of your deeds and your actions for the day, your thoughts, your memories, and all that sort of stuff that now determines who you are as an individual and the relationship you have with the Mighty One. And these actions and these thoughts and all of this stuff that you do, your history is all encoded in on that. And that goes back to when that breath of life is called up. Now, that's what Yahweh looks at to determine if he sees a particular mark on that. And we're going to talk about that mark later. Which we can cut to the chase. It's his son, Yahushua.
Man.
Whether or not that is infused within your soul.
Man.
We'll talk about that a little later. Anyway. So 2:7, and Yahweh Elohim formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now something additional he's giving us about this man, because he never really talked about this part in here, because we know it had to take place before day 7, right? So now 2:8, and Yahweh Elohim planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed, right? So now, out of all of this creating he's doing, now how many people have a little piece of land, a little piece of yard? You have them, right? So what you do in that big yard, if you like to plant something, what do? You separate a little portion of it, right? So let's say this big room is all the earth, this huge land, man. Yahweh said, you know what? I'm going to make a special little plot out of there. Right along. That's what he did. He made a special little place. So not only did he create this big house for the creatures and everything and mankind, he gave them a luxury suite.
Man.
Did he or did he not? He made a special little suite for him out of all this land. Think about it. He could have said, I just put man in the earth. But he said, let's go back. And it says, Yahweh, and we're going to look at that term in Hebrew, where it says planted, right? And that term is nata, to plant, fasten, planter, right? To plant, we're looking at nata. We're looking in the BDB. And I like how the BDB, like, you know, really puts some depth into it and gives you the different nuances behind it.
Amen.
To plant. Fasten, fix, establish, to plant, establish, you know, figuratively, to be planted, to be established. And in the Strong's, families 5193 in the Strong's, okay? And it's a primitive root properly to strike in, that is fixed specifically to plant, literally or figuratively, fasten, plant. So when you think about it, Yahweh said, I have established a particular place that I want human beings, these two people, to dwell. Right? Okay. Okay. 2:9. And out of the ground made Yahweh Elohim to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay, and then it goes into, you know, and the river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. We're going to skip down from all of that, and we're going to start back up at 2:15. And it says, Yahweh Elohim took the man and put him in the garden to dress it and to keep it. So not only did he create this whole big planet, then he created this garden, but he gave man two specific tasks when it comes to the Garden of Eden. And we're going to look at that. Okay? Because he said he wanted him to dress it and to keep it. So the first word we want to look at in Hebrews and the Strong's is 5:6-7, where it says to dress. And what word do we get out of there, family, if you looked at it? Well, abad. What does that term mean? To work, to serve, to labor, to work, to do work, to work for another, to serve another by labor, to serve as subjects, to serve the Mighty One, to serve with Levitical service, to be worked, to be tilled, to make oneself a servant, to be worked, to compel to labor or to work, to cause to labor, to cause to serve, to cause to the service a subject, to be led or enticed to serve, right? And say, well, Ahabah, didn't you say this was all provided for us as a luxury suite and all that type of stuff? Yes, it sure was. But we're going to see some more. All right? So it's a Strong's 5647, Abad, and a primitive root to work in any sense by implication, to serve, to till, says to enslave, to keep in bondage, to be bondman, to bond serve, to compel, to do, to dress, to aid, to execute. Husbandmen. Think about that term now, because we hear that term from the Messiah. So table that thought right there. To keep, to labor, laboring, bring to pass, to serve, serve, self-serve, be, become servant, service to transgress, work, be wrought, worshiper. So think about the prophet Obadiah, right? So also now, so we get some insight into this, that it wasn't just there to serve in the sense of working, but now Adam was supposed to be some sort of homage.
Amen.
To the creator who made this for him.
Amen.
Not necessarily that he had to go in there and no, he didn't have to go in there and plant. Everything was planted for him already.
Amen.
He didn't have to go in there and seed. Everything was seeded already. He didn't go in there and have to say, serve the animals. Everything was already set aside for that purpose.
Yeah.
So the only thing that he really needed to do while he was in that garden was worship.
Man.
That was it. Worship. That was the only thing he had to do, was say, thank you, Abba, for all that you have provided. Thank
Man.
You, Abba, for giving me all of this. That's all he had to do. Because right or wrong, everything else was given and prepared for him already. Okay. Now look at the other part, to dress and to keep it. And I thought this part right here was so interesting, especially in lines of what we talked about at the retreat. Because I thought, you know, in reading through one of the books that we read, that Rabbi placed in my mind, and I was like, oh, snap, I never thought of it from that. That Yahweh got a security guard, a security force. He's got a police department. Right or wrong? Yahweh got police. Didn't we learn that while we was out there? That he got a security force. We got a security band right in here. I watched him doing his thing. Me and him was walking to chill. Got the call on the radio. My man had to roll out on me. I thought me and him was going to get some QT. We was talking and chilling. And my man heard the call. Was like, oh, man, do I have to go? Go ahead. He had to go do his security work. So I got to watch my man do his security thing in action. Action Jackson, boy. I'm happy having my brother die there, man. I got two brothers die there. I feel extra blessed. Oh, that boy happened for a reason. You know? My bad boy, he was ready, too. Anyway, so this is in the Strong's Concordance 8104. And it is Shema. To guard. So you mean to tell me that not only was man to worship in that garden, but now he was supposed to be a guardian over that garden? To keep, guard, observe, give heed, to keep, have charge of, to keep, to guard, to keep watch and ward, protect, save life. He was set to watch, a watcher, to watch for, to wait for, to watch, to observe. Oh, to observe, to keep, retain, treasure up in memory. I'm reading from the BDB family. To keep within bounds, to restrain, to observe, celebrate, keep Shabbat, or covenant of commands, to perform a vow, to keep, preserve, protect, to keep, reserve, to be on one's guard and take heed, take care, beware, to keep oneself, to refrain, to abstain, to be kept, be guarded, to keep, pay heed, to keep oneself from. That's a lot. That's a lot. When you think about, and when I say a lot, I'm not saying a lot in that he had a great burden. No, he had a great responsibility.
Amen.
He had a great responsibility in that. A great, tremendous responsibility, man. That was the BBB. I'm going to read just from the Straight Strongs now. And it's still 8104 Shema. And it's a primitive root properly to hedge about as with thorns. That is God, generally to protect, to attend to beware, to be circumspect, to take heed, to self, to keep, keeper, keep self, mark, look narrowly, observe, preserve, regard, reserve, save life, sure, that may wait for, watch, watchmen. So those are the two responsibilities, first and foremost, that when Yahweh created this man, he had in mind for to be his key responsibilities. To worship him and to protect that God.
Amen.
What is that term that they use in, I think, in the military about protecting the land from any adversary, whether foreign or domestic? That's what Adam was supposed to do.
Amen.
He was supposed to protect that garden at all costs. And worship Yahweh. So 2:16. And Yahweh Elohim commanded the man, saying, very important, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat it freely, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. 2:18. And Yahweh Elohim said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. So again, he's giving more of the details right there of what took place when he created man in this part of chapter 2. And out of the ground, 2:19, family, and out of the ground Yahweh formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam calls them, every living creature, that was the name thereof. Think about this. Think about it. Yahweh created, but he's going to let Adam do the naming of it.
Amen.
So whatever we call any of these creatures, guess what? Yahweh didn't call them creatures that. Adam called the creatures that.
Amen.
So when we hear bear, eagle, cat, dog, rat, whatever, that was all serpent, whatever that was in that garden, Adam was the one who gave them those names.
Amen.
Not Yahweh.
Amen.
Which means Adam knew specifically every single essence that was in those creatures, that Yahweh had infused in those creatures prior to him. He didn't make them creatures. But Yahweh said, I'm going to test if he's truly in my image and after my likeness. Can that brain that I put inside of him and that intellect and that understanding that I put inside of him, I want to see how this works. I want to see how this creature works. Think about what we learn in the sci-fi movies when a man makes this android. They had this one game out one time called, I can't remember it right now. It was just a free game a couple of months ago. Detroit, right? Was it called Detroit?
Yeah.
Right? Right? And it was a world where these androids now which were given specific responsibilities. And sometimes the androids did, I mean, they started to develop emotions. And as they developed these emotions, they developed these attachments. And when they found out, this one found out he was being replaced, it drove him crazy that somebody was going to get a newer model. But anyway, the point is that, you know, when you look at them sci-fi movies and they create this android thing, and they want to see whether or not it has the ability to be human-like. So now Yahweh created man to see if he could be God-like.
Hallelujah.
When you think about it, when he said, I'm making it in my image and after my likeness, Yahweh created Adam and Eve, and he wanted to know if they could really be godlike.
Amen.
Could they see into this creature the way I see into this creature? Could they see into things the way I see into things? That's what Yahweh was doing with them when at that point. Okay. 2:20, family, Genesis. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the fowl of the air, and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a help meet for him. And Yahweh Elohim caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. He slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which Yahweh Elohim had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Notice one thing he didn't say that she was called. Soul of his soul. Life of his life. Because now you have this popular notion, something came across, how to find out whether or not you have a soulmate or whether or not the two of you are soulmates. Y'all supposed to be matched up, but guess what? When each one of you give up that soul, you can't say, well, look here, Abel, me and my partner, the one I was with, the one you paired me up with, that one was really good, and I was not so good. So therefore, allow me in. No, it don't work like that.
Amen.
Each individual stands for Yahweh, their own self.
Amen.
And even when the scriptures say that the unbelieving spouse will say the believing spouse, he ain't talking about when you close your eyes, because prime example.
Mom.
I'm going down to save Lot and his whole family. Come on out. And somebody looked back. Mom. And what happened? Turned to a pillar of salt.
Man.
Right or wrong? Why he didn't say at that point, well, because Lot was the head of the family and he believed in everything and he was doing the right thing, I'm going to save her too. No. He allowed her to turn into a pillar of salt because she was an individual and did what she individually wanted to do.
Amen.
So whereas, yes, not to say we don't be concerned about one another, not to say that we don't do our best to take care and love one another, but know this. He said it's better that part of your body get into the kingdom. I believe that's what he says. That part of you get in, then all of you burn.
Right.
He ain't just talking about just because ain't part of your soul going to get into the kingdom. Think about what he's saying.
Right.
He's talking about part of your familiars, your family and all that. It's better to make sure that you do what you're supposed to do, and hopefully by your good example, they will follow your example and believe what you believe. But guess what? If they don't, it's on them individually.
Amen.
Ain't none of this going to a petitioning and all that sort of stuff. Didn't we learn that? Ain't no petitioning. Ain't no petitioning.
That's right.
Ain't no petitioning. So if you can't petition, guess what? That means each individual got to be right individually before they leave. Because ain't going to be no collective walking. It's like this. For example, when you walk in the court, and if you are either plaintiff or defendant, sure, sometimes they may call somebody else to speak on behalf of your case, but whatever the judgment is, it is rendered unto the individual from the judge, good, bad, or indifferent. Because each individual has to face the sentencing, even if it's a group. Each individual. We don't have to see the situation with a whole bunch of corporations and all types of organizations. The individual sentences that were handed out. We got a situation going on here in Baltimore, facing 175 years. Them been knocked down to 3 to 5. Guess what? Because a whole lot of other individuals got time they looking at. You see what I'm saying? All right. So, that's an example. Notice he said, like you said, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. He didn't say, our soul. Say, this is part of my soul. No. What scripture? Okay. Therefore, back to 2:23, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. 2:24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So as we close out chapter 2, we see that they were in one condition. Right?
Amen.
Means they were exposed. And we're not, you know, looking at just the total physical nakedness, but when you think about what it means to be naked, to be denuded, that means there's nothing, there's no barriers holding back between the two. No secrets, nothing hidden. Everything is exposed. All right? So now, 3:1. Get a sip of water for everyone. 60. And it starts off in this chapter with, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which Yahweh Elohim had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath the mighty one said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, the mighty one has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for the mighty one doth know that in the day he eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of Yahweh Elohim walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the might of Yahweh Elohim amongst the trees of the garden." What happened there? Simply put, they disobeyed, realized they were in a different state as a result of their disobedience, and now realize that they were in a state that required them to now hide themselves from the Creator. Did the Creator hide himself from them? No. No. Man first hid himself from the Creator. Man first realized he messed up, and now he hurt the relationship. And we're going to see. But think of it. 3:8. "And they heard the voice of Yahweh Elohim walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence." And let's look at that term presence, family. It's so funny because I believe this is one of the terms that we looked at too, right? And the term is 6440, the turning of the face. Panaim, 6440. Face, faces, presence, person, face of a seraphim or a cherubim, face of animals. Say, this is from the BDB that I'm reading. Face, surface of the ground, as an adverb of location or temperature, before and behind, toward, in front of, forward, formerly, from, before time, before with preposition, in front of, before, to the front of, in the presence of, in the face of, at the face or front of, from the presence of, from before the face of. And in the Strong's, it says, plural, but always used as a singular message of an unknown, of an unused noun, pane, the face, used in a great variety of implications. So, long story short, Adam and Eve were able at one point to have this personal relationship with the Creator, where they could talk directly with the Creator, where they could look at the Creator. But as a result of their sin now, they hid themselves from that. Think about the term to be shamefaced in. When you're ashamed of something that you did, how hard is it to look somebody in the eyes after you did that? How hard is it when you hurt someone to make eye contact with that person? It's difficult. It takes courage. It takes strength of character to do one thing. And we're going to see the one thing they didn't do in all of this. Look at what Yahweh does. "And Yahweh Elohim called unto Adam and said, where are you? Where art thou? So he's looking for Adam. Here it is, Adam's ducking him out. He's hiding. And Yahweh is walking around this garden now, looking for him, trying to find him. Huh? And here's Adam's reply. And he said, 3:10, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself.
Amen.
3:11, he said, who told you that you were naked? That's the first thing. He's like, I'm perplexed. Wait a minute, man. You've been in this state all along. You ain't had no problem with it. Why all of a sudden you got a problem with the state that you're in? And he immediately knew. Think about it. You got a child, right? And your child did something that they know, and you know they ain't got no business doing. What's the first thing you do as a child when you know you messed up with your parent? You get low. And what's the first thing that your parent know about you? Can you hide from your parent? Can you lie to your parent? One of the things I love is when my children used to devise all these stories, and I sit there and I listen to it. And then I tell them the entire narrative, word for word. It's like you were there, even though you weren't there physically. You knew everything that went down by them telling you that story, whether by omission, whether they omitted certain details, or whether they forgot certain details. And it's like, as a parent, you know exactly what question to ask, whether it be open-ended or closed-ended. Well, tell me about how you got to where you was at. Well, I was walking with, so I thought you said you took the bus there. Oh, yeah, when I got off the bus, I started to walk. But I thought you said there was a problem with the bus. So that's why you walk. So which one is it? Was you on the bus? Was you off the bus? Did you walk? Did you not walk? You see what I'm saying? But the bottom line, your parent knows you was involved in something where you misrepresented them. And you may have gotten in trouble for it. And oftentimes with children, we do things that we, did Yahweh tell Adam anything wrong? No, he did not. As parents, do we tell our children, as good parents, do we tell our children anything wrong? But sometimes our children do things and go astray and go contrary to the great things, especially if they were raised in this faith, the great things that were taught to them. No fault of the parent. No fault of the parent. It is not. Regardless of what the parent may have gone through, it is still up to the child to make that decision for themselves, to go to the left or go to the right. We heard the story of the prodigal son. Do we or do we not? Okay. Abba being the good parent, he knew exactly what went down. 3:11, and he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? And the man said, I apologize, Abba, I should have listened to your voice. Abba, I shouldn't have done it. I messed up. Forgive me, Abba, I stand against you and your word. That's what he said, right? No, sir. He said, so, the woman that thou gavest me, she gave me the truth, and I did eat thereof. Not Abba, I messed up. Forgive me. I'm sorry. And Yahweh Elohim said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, but a serpent, which you made, beguiled me, and I ate. Not, I'm sorry, I messed up, I should have listened. So they're both in the same state of being. They're both in the same state of being. And Yahweh said unto the serpent, he didn't even give him a chance to explain nothing. At least with his children, he wanted to know, hold up, what happened? And isn't that true with us as parents? When something go down, you don't want to hear about what Bobo did. You don't want to hear what Bobo said. You won't hear what your child did or what your child said. But Bobo, nah, I don't want to hear about Bobo. But Ray, nah, I don't want to hear about Ray Ray. But Tintin, nah, I don't want to hear about what, I don't want to hear about nobody else. I just want to talk to you. Right. Tintin, you can't come to my house no more. Boo-boo, no, mm-mm. That's what the first thing the parents do. Nah, I don't want you around my child no more. You stay away from my house. Don't come past my doorstep. Certain, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt crawl, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Any woman in here like snake? A true woman that has the spirit of the creator in her will never like a snake. You see a woman that got a snake around her, run away. Because that's a natural thing that y'all was putting in. I'm not a woman and I don't like snakes. They gross me out. I don't want nothing to do with them. But anyway. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply, 3:16, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree with which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and in sorrow shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. So what happened there at this point? You won't be unhappy. Mm-hmm. How many of us are happy going to work every day? Raise your hand, please. Who goes into work skipping? Anybody go bopping in the work? Like, I'm glad to be here today. Woo-hoo! How many of us get up in the morning like, dang. I don't feel like going to work today. That's me every day, except Shabbat. Every day, I'm like, yo, I ain't feeling it today. I'm grateful for my job, but I sure would like to just lay in my bed till about 3 o'clock this afternoon. I don't care how good your job is. You can have the greatest job with the greatest manager, be the happiest workplace where you can bring your dog, you can bring your child. They give you lunch every day. Guaranteed, you're going to get up and be like, yo, I just want to stay home today, man. I don't feel like going up in that joint today. Yo, for real, I ain't feeling it, yo. Well, I just don't want to go to work today. I'm just standing. It's not guaranteed. But that's part of the curse. Anyway. Said, I'll put enmity, 3:15, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrows and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam, 3:17, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field, and the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And unto Adam also and to his wife did Yahweh Elohim make coats of skin and clothe them. And Yahweh Elohim said, behold, man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, Yahweh Elohim sent him forth from the garden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So now, what do we see happen here in the end? Anyone? Anyone?
Man cast out the garden.
Yes, sir. He was cast out. He was evicted. He was evicted. He was evicted out of his home. He was evicted. Not only was he evicted from his home, but now he was divorced from the relationship that he had with the Creator initially. Right. He was divorced from the relationship that he had with the Creator initially. At one point, he was able to look at the Creator and talk to him and hear his voice and vice versa. But now, that personal relationship, that very personal relationship that he had with the Creator is now forever gone. And that is the state that humanity is in right now. Why do you think we go through what we go through? See, the tree of life is a tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, rather, forgiven, is the tree of life experience. It's the tree. It is now going through. Think about it, y'all. What do we do every week when we come to Shabbat and oftentimes throughout the week? Especially if you're one of the teachers, what do? You study the word so you could hear Yahweh's voice, right?
Amen.
So that you can get inspiration from the Creator, right or wrong.
Amen.
But there was a time we could hear that directly. Well, not us, but our foreparents. But now, we spend our time and much of humanity in trying to understand what it is that he's thinking. Try to understand what it is that he says. We have a controversy based on, well, what did he say about that? You see what I'm saying? So now this is the state that mankind is in.
Amen.
But hopefully everybody or humanity, or at least us in this room, want to get back to a place where we can hear his voice, talk to him, and know that that truly is his voice. Because oftentimes what happens when we have a controversy in the word, our rabbi is famous for that, I'm waiting on confirmation.
Amen.
Because you don't want to take the first thing that pops into your mind sometimes, right or wrong.
Amen.
You want to be like Gideon. And you want to say, Abba, if this is truly what you want me to do, wet that ground around that fleece. But keep the fleece dry. And he does it. But he said, just in case this was some natural phenomenon, do the opposite. Which would be more impossible to do. Because who knows what the condition of that fleece was in. Maybe by the time he got to it, just... it dried up. But he says, no, make the fleece wet and the ground around it dry. Then I know that's an impossibility. It can only be the Creator that did that.
Amen.
Right or wrong?
Amen.
So this is the state that mankind is in. But now, and with what this lesson is about, the conspiracy against your salvation, what is salvation? When we think about it, because, the world has us thinking that salvation is one particular thing. And it is, to some degree, that. A salvaging, a rescuing. But rescuing you to what? To make it into heaven? To make it into heaven? To make it into paradise? To be in Abraham's bosom? No. We want to get back to where we had that personal face-to-face relationship with the Creator again. And it's so funny. You know what we talked about? We talked about that. And I've been so good now, just sitting there so happy, because it's like, when you think about are you praying about? Abba, what do you want me to talk about? What are you talking about? You know? And Abba gives you that confirmation just by the little things, the little seeds he drops in. Then you say, okay, you want the right path. Keep looking for some more breadcrumbs. There you go. They go another crumb. Remember, y'all remember the Brady Bunch episode? Where the Brady Bunch, they had to leave the popcorn.
Right.
I'm glad I'm not the only nerd. And they had to leave the popcorn so that they could find their way back. And as they look at me, oh, they go to popcorn. They must have came this way because popcorn would never be out here in the woods. Right? So that's what Yahweh do. He wants you to look for them little kernels of popcorn along the way to let you know that you're going on the right path.
Right.
Hmm? But not making light of such a serious matter. But this journey that we're on, Yahweh is leaving us little clues along the way to let us know that we are going on the right path, that we are following the right direction, that we are going in the direction that he wants us to go. You know? But a few thoughts I want to leave with everybody at, you know, in closing out right now. What is salvation? Why do we need salvation? Is salvation for everyone? And, of course, who saved? Who saves? Because there's only one Savior.
Man.
You know, and we're in that season where we are being bombarded with the okey-doke.
Man.
You know, when you think about the millions of people, the billions of people that are in this season now and looking for something that is a lie. It's a lie. So you have all of these people, and you have some people who in this season aren't just in it. You have some people who are sincerely in it for the right reason, wanting to keep the reason for the season. You do have some people, you know, you have some people who are strictly in it for just the gift giving or whatever, but you do have some people who sincerely, they're going to go to service that night. They're going to be in service that night, thinking that I was one of them at one point, thinking I'm in allegiance with doing it, and I see other people now out there. You know, having the whole, you know, the cantata and all this sort of stuff that, you know, we used to do and thinking that we are aligning ourselves up with our Savior coming into the world.
Amen.
You know, and we have people, and even in their sincerity and trying to show them that that's not the way, they'll look at you and scorn you because there's no way. You're going to tell me that all what I have been taught, all what I've learned, all what I've read and seen and heard and believed for myself is a lie. But there's someone who conspired to do that to them. There was somebody who deliberately conspired to prevent their salvation. And sad to say, it's working for a lot of people. And to bring it closer to home, when we think about what Abba has shown this congregation and others who believe what we believe about his path, about his appointments, even that now, he's trying to skew.
Right.
He's trying to obstruct that, right? We hearing a whole lot about obstruction of justice. But there's an obstruction of salvation happening to the believer.
Right.
Because every time a controversy rises up about what the word of Yahweh is saying among believers, guess what?
Man.
Something is working to prevent understanding, to prevent a relationship from happening.
Man.
And it's working. Working more so among the quote-unquote believers as it is working with those that are caught up in falsehood. Because now if he can truly obscure the truth, I got a text about them trying to make the Torah more queer, a more gay-friendly Torah, a more transgender-friendly Torah. Think about that. What's that word? As if?
Yeah.
As if. But they're going to work at it. They're going to do their darndest and guarantee they're going to go back to what's tried and true. They've been working on this for as long as I can remember being in the faith, the relationship between Jonathan and David. Guaranteed that's where they're going to go. Guaranteed they're going to work it and turn it. Well, what do you mean? Their souls were intertwined. Well, guess what? In that sense, yes, their souls can be intertwined, but their flesh sure wasn't.
Amen.
And people think because it says their souls were intertwined, that means they were soulmates. No, they were buddies. They were best friends. They were tight. They were military men. They were warriors. And you want a trusted Batman had Robin. Oh, wrong example. Doggone it. So now they've skewed that. You know, but, huh? They've skewed that. I need to find two married superheroes. Need two. But they were warriors. And if he struck with the right, that my man was behind him, striking to the left. He knew that if he drove his sword or his spear that way, that he knew that somebody had his reward, for lack of a better term. He knew that, and that's all that meant. But of course, you know, they're going to try to find ways. But this is where now we become the watchman, we become the guardian, we become that hedge, we become that protector, we become those warriors that protect the word of Yahweh. Because now that's another thing that he's trying to do. He's trying to get us back to that place where he created us to be, and that was guardians of his worship, guardians of his word, and guardians of his voice. Are we not called watchmen later on in the scriptures? We're going to see a particular scripture that I thought, wow, when I read it. As a matter of fact, I'm going to read it for y'all. And I'm not going to tell you where it is until we get to that point in the lesson. But he says, "Now, therefore, arise, O Yahweh Elohim, into thy resting place, thou and the ark of your strength. Let thy priests, O Yahweh, thy Kohanim, O Yahweh Elohim, be clothed in salvation, and let thy saints rejoice in goodness." Wait a minute, huh? His Kohanim, his priests, are supposed to be clothed in salvation? Huh? What does that mean, man? When you think about the gravity of what that means, there's a sincere task at hand for those of us who have laid our hand to this charge.
Hallelujah.
You know, there was a saying among our counterparts that said, you know, your physical father brings you into this world, but your spiritual father helps bring you in the world to come. Where did they get that from? So you mean these men that are called priests, and it's no, to me, it's like, wow. So now you went and created a whole false priesthood and have these people come and confess their faults to you, and you think, I grew up initially going to Catholic school and Catholic church, and confession was part of the sacraments, wasn't it? That's how you sanctify yourself, confessing your sins to the priest. Because you hope by confessing your sins, you get what? Saved. But anyway. So again, what is salvation? Why do we need salvation? It's salvation for everyone and who saves. Any thoughts, any questions, family? Well, all right then, family. That ends week number one. Study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman to be not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I hope that Yahweh bless me to see y'all next week, and we will go into session two and talk some more about this thing, salvation. And hopefully, Abba, by his will, we'll start seeing examples of different prophets and different people in the Bible that showed us examples of what Yahweh is trying to do by rescuing us from this world system and destruction, and the efforts that others have put into preventing it. So, again, ending lesson one of the conspiracy against salvation. Shalom, fam. All right. Cold cool. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, and all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen.
Amen.
Brother, there you are. Do you mind closing us out, Aki?
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Yeah, in the name of thy son, Jesus, thank you for the words you put upon our
brother,
Abel. May all your words come to us, Father.
Amen.
May they grow within us, Father. May we always keep them to the forefront of our minds. We thank you for the breath of life.
Mm.
Thank you for this day, this Shabbat that you set apart for us.
Mm.
We thank you for protecting us throughout the week, Father.
Mm.
We ask that you bring your family, whoever's on their way, protect them wherever they're going, wherever they're going in this world, to give you praise, glory, and honor.
Mm-hmm.
Protect them as they get there safe. Protect the roadways. Protect their goings and their evils, Father. Father, we ask that you put your spirit, your words in the mouth of the ravens, going to continue to bring forth your word to the world today, Father. Edify him so he may edify us.
Amen.
Continue to grow us, continue to show us your path, Father. Continue to build up what we need individually as well as collectively, Father. The things that you need from us individually and collectively, Father.
Amen.
Father, we thank you. We ask that you forgive us for our sins when we go to the left and the right, that you chastise us and bring us back to your path, Father.
Amen.
That you always show us your way and that you always lead us and guide us.
Amen.
Most of all, Father, we thank you for your son, your gift to us, that we shall understand, Father.
Mm.
And all the things that you do for us on a daily basis, Father, we just thank you. Give you praise, glory, and honor. Once again, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.